When I figured out that God described sinners as wild ass men, and I sure found that easy to agree with, I made a study through the Bible of the ass. You have to do it. I mean, probably the best experience a Christian could have. It's like looking in the mirror. Read the Bible. Everywhere, go get a real big concordance like Strong's and look up the word ass. Now, you'll probably, some of you, if you've been brought up in the traditional church, when you just the thought of finding such a word in the concourse will give you a near heart attack, find it in the concordance. Just discipline yourself to find the word ass. Just camp on that ass a while. Just stay there. Some of you have been sitting there in your Christian experience for years and haven't admitted it, so you might as well take a long look at it. Don't waste my time asking if you're the guy there in the room with you, if I said what you think I said. Yes, I did. They're going to rename the Donahue Show Samson Show. Or the jawbone of an ass. Well, my Bible's got a half a column on the ass. If you will go through the Bible, you'll find it's a fascinating study. Sinners are called wild-ass men. And everywhere you find a man going the wrong way or doing something, got an ass involved. That's what it is. Dumb ass. Causing more trouble. When God tries to find Saul, he's off hunting an ass. They are the cantankerous, stubbornest, most intractable, worthless animals. And you know what God says, having defined all sinners as wild ass men? You still with me? I can tell you a channel where people just make an ass of themselves. Don't talk about it. Just stay with me a while. I'm going to teach about it the Bible way. Thank the Lord for my restraint. If I had said all the things I was thinking about, we would have been here the rest of the day. But let me just come right to the point. In the laws of the offerings in the Old Testament, God treats an ass the way it ought to be treated. The law of the ass. Since every sinner is a wild ass man, here's the law. You break the neck of the firstborn ass. And the only way the ass can escape getting its neck broke, you offer a lamb as a vicarious sacrifice in its place. I think all humor laid aside, God calls a sinner a wild ass man, and for an ass, the lamb must die. Now, as I've said, I'm not just being funny. You can go through the Bible and find the times that man's out of step with God and see how many times he's out of step with God where some dumbass is involved. The only way the firstborn of an ass can live and not have its neck broke is to sacrifice a lamb, firstborn lamb, for that ass. The only place and in the mouth of two witnesses a thing is confirmed. The only place an ass has any dignity in God's word, that stubborn, intractable epitome of the type of sinning man, the only place it has any dignity is when God gives it the words to speak in the case of Balaam's ass, and when Jesus is riding it with it under his control, going where Jesus wants it to go on Palm Sunday, as they say in the New Testament. You can go through the whole Bible. The only thing an ass is good for is get its neck broke. And that's what every sinner is. They're not a bunch of dear ones. They're dagnubbed jackasses. You understand what I'm saying? There's too much milquetoast droolings in Christianity. Can the leopard change his spots? You don't have to call a sinner what he's not. He doesn't respect you for it. To bring the truth to him. And that's why I get mad when people say, well, I don't, you know, I can't stand to be with them, but I love their soul. Let me tell you something. A jackass's soul is a jackass soul. Let that settle in. There isn't a lovable soul in an ass. The soul of an ass is an assy soul. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you can never redeem man until that man faces up to his need of redemption. I preached this morning on Mother's Day, and one example was Rizpah, a mother who stayed by those seven sons of Saul when they become an object of revulsion. That's God's love. He doesn't sugarcoat what we are and start talking some kind of strange sugar pill theology. You can never bring the grace of God home to people who really need it until you're willing to understand it extends to those who really need it. The only dignity the jackass had was when God gave it the words to speak and Jesus was in control of it, riding it triumphantly into Jerusalem. Every other occasion, a jackass is just what it is, a wild ass, deserving of its neck being broke. That's the message of grace. That's why I don't transplant saints. I know the length of God's grace because it reached to me. I'll fight for the dignity of God because God reached to undeserving of dignity Gene Scott. Jesus was called a friend of sinners. He stepped from heaven's glory to walk the streets where jackasses brayed and pawed. And though some lily-minded Christianity, few of them, not that many anymore, criticize my bluntness, it's in the loss of that bluntness and directness that the Bible engages in that so much of the world finds no spark that can be struck from it to communicate and respond to the light of the gospel. As I go to the table of the Lord tonight, I want everybody out there to understand we're all a bunch of jackasses. No exceptions. Deserving of having our necks broke. But God offered the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world that we might live. And that price was sufficient to let all dumb jackasses live. But the only ones responding properly are those that in response to that act come under the Lord's direction, which fulfills the meaning of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I want us to go to the elements and understanding. This is not some exercise that we do with the saints, quote, who qualify. The reason I brought it on television and have explained it instead of leaving it a mystical ritual. This is a table of grace. All of us deserve to have our neck broke. We deserve to die for our stupid sinning ways. But Christ died for us that we might live. And in one sentence, whereas there are some who would go to the table of the Lord and wrongly interpret the scripture and put fear in your heart and tell you you have to examine yourself to see if you're worthy to partake, Paul never said that to the Corinthians. He said, examine yourself, the manner, not yourself, but the manner of your partaking. For if you eat and drink unworthily, the only discernment you need to have is that Christ died for jackasses. And it's jackasses. Stubborn, intractable, always trying to go their own way, deserving of a good neck breaking. That he died for. That reaches to any one of you out there. Unworthy though you may be, you can be made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. I repeat it. Christ died for jackasses. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet jackasses, that's what he called sinning man. And we've been able to put theological meanings on sinners, and people can stand and say, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't mean a thing. Nobody in the church is applying it to them. They're sure it's somebody that's not there today. Get as graphic as God is. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet wild ass men, jackasses, Christ died for us. So will the jackasses gather with me, please, and accept and remember the redemption provided in Christ. I'm not just using emotive shock words. I think it's time we get back to the fact that the Bible is God's revelation. And he understood the way peaches and cream language goes over people's heads. He got right into the nitty-gritty. I brought this Lord's Supper into the homes on television from the day we started this festival with two simple crusades about it. I suppose three, though the first is taken for granted. It began in a home, the home of John Mark's mother, that Jesus was keeping the Passover. The Passover itself began in the home in ancient Egypt. It was kept by New Testament Christians in homes. It was a simple act. Two elements, bread and wine, remember Jesus. To symbolize what he did to fulfill the meaning of the Passover, enabling Paul to say, Christ is our Passover. With it brought back in the homes as we participate by television and radio, I've had two crusades. One, to teach, is the table of grace. Everybody's on an equal basis here. We're all jackasses. Spared the neck breaking, figuratively, because Christ died. And he died for jackasses. That says it. I insist you can't partake of these elements properly. You don't view yourself as a jackass. And all of that animal's traits imply. You see, when you view yourself as a sinner, you slip into tradition. Well, I don't wear makeup, or I do. I don't take aspirin, but I brush my teeth and wear glasses. I wear my hair long or short. I don't wear pants. I haven't robbed anybody. It took a long time for God to teach his people that they were sinners not because they sinned, but rather they sinned because they were sinners. Like a kindergarten treatment, God started with his people when he gave them worship practices by making them offer the trespass offering first. That's like kindergarten, first door approach to God. The trespass offering dealt with sins you knew about that you could catalog. I robbed this person, or I lied to that person, or I did this or I did that. Once they got past that, their needs were still not met. They had to offer the sin offering. The sin offering covered even the sins of ignorance that flowed out of their sinful condition. And they would begin to comprehend at that point that they sinned, committed trespasses, because they were sinners. A bent alienation from God. An inevitable, intractable tendency to seek our own way. Dumb sheep in Isaiah. Jackasses in Ishmael's case. And there's simply not enough people in the Christian world who stand before God with that realization. That old nature is still in you. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah said. We've turned everyone to our own way. That's the essence of sin. That's what makes a jackass out of us. And there are just an awful lot of jackasses in the church as well as outside it. They've just, like Tozer said, practiced the same business on the other side of the street. I'd say they've become the same, if not a worse, jackass on the other side of the street. They're just practicing their own way under the guise of serving God. You'll never comprehend what's available in God until you see yourself for what you are. And then comprehend God's love. The jackass though we may be, Christ died for me. The measure of our awareness of our alienation from God is the measure of our capacity to respond and understand the measure of God's grace. Niebuhr said it. The only adequate motivation for Christian performance is the knowledge of sins forgiven. One of the weaknesses of the second generation church that grows up in the church, it conditions itself to think it's in relationship to the world, not too sinful. That's the worst kind of jackass. One that is and doesn't know it. You ever hear people with pets say, you know, my dog doesn't know he's a dog? You ever hear that? Poor dog, he doesn't know he's a dog. That's second generation Christianity. Poor jackasses, they don't know they're jackasses. In fact, they don't even tolerate the word. They think they're little Fauntleroy sons of God. And until the comprehension comes home of what we are, we'll never understand the long reach of God to embrace us. I want to beat it to death today. I want to tell you something. That television show I talked about when I opened was populated by people who couldn't be saved. Without a fresh revelation of themselves. Their arrogant, judgmental, presumptuous, pride in no way conveyed the attitude, I'm a dumb jackass, but this is my opinion, humbly offered. I watched this television show rip Oral Roberts apart. Not a one of those that was speaking even dreamed they were a jackass. I don't see the audience here. I don't want you to respond to me. We live in an age where self-esteem is the vogue of the day. The Bible doesn't teach self-esteem, which is the preening of the jackass. The Bible teaches a value residing in the jackass, worthy of saving. The jackassness is not valuable. That's deserving of a neck breaking. But hidden in the jackass is not the image of a jackass, but the image of God worth saving, to which God's Spirit can adhere and bring forth not just what's there, but bring forth newness of life by that joinder of God's Spirit with that residual image in man of God's image. Too much Christianity is just another EST or another humanism giving a value to a jackass for his jackass ways and jackassness. I beat it to death tonight. Jackasses deserve to have their neck broke. Christ died for them. He wants to ride them into the New Jerusalem under his control. But he died for you as you are. because of what he can bring forth in you. And that's what this cup symbolizes. Leviticus 17:11 says life resides in the blood. The life of the soul literally resides in the blood. We deserve to die. Neck breaking. He emptied himself of heaven's glory. And if I use the same analogy, the book of Hebrews said, was made in the likeness of jackass flesh. He made himself to look like us, but never let that nature conquer him. And being made like us, kin with us, he who conquered the jackass tendency offered himself for us, that the rest of us jackasses can have another chance. Don't come to this table thinking you deserve it. See yourself as you are, and there's life. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Now come on, all you jackasses. Lift the cup and thank God for his grace, because in spite of your best ability to convince other people you're not, you know way down deep, most of us are prize jackasses. But God gave his son, his son gave his life, and we can live because of that. Can you say thank the Lord for his grace? As we take together in Jesus' name, that's probably the most non-liturgical time you've ever done it. Now what's the bread for? Two elements. That's the second crusade I've had. God added icing on the cake. Not only provision for eternal life, health. If sin's the only thing at issue, the cup's all you need. Bread is there because the Lord laid on him our infirmities and our sicknesses. Same message. The devil will sit on the shoulder of hundreds that are listening to me right now and say, a jackass like you doesn't deserve healing. A jackass like you doesn't deserve Christ to die for you. Well, he did. He died for jackasses. He lifted the sickness off jackasses. When will we understand you don't earn healing any more than you earn any other ingredient of salvation? You take the grace of God and you claim the promise. With his stripes I was healed. Will you take it in Jesus' name and claim that promise? Now.